Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Samantha. Samantha is the Chief Executive Officer at She Media. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So more than eight years at She Media. Samantha, can you tell us a brief background about yourself, what you've been up to?
Sure. So I've been with She Media, as you said, for 8 years. Prior to my experience here, I was with a company called Recycle Bank. And prior to that, lots of different companies in digital media and technology. My focus has been over the past 10 years plus has really been on social impact and how we can use media and technology solutions to address social inequality and climate change. So I'm very pleased to be at She Media leading our efforts to create greater economic equality for women content creators.
Got it. Yeah, congratulations on that and more power to you. You know, it's the need of the hour. So our podcasts are very much focused towards, you know, these recent episodes, they're focused towards the last 12 to 14 months and the challenges the founders are facing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since everyone was forced to stay at home, many moved towards digital media, you know, going towards digital agencies, the need for digital marketing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So can you elaborate a bit more on that, the trends that you've seen in the last 12, 13 months? And, you know, we would like your insights on that.
Sure. Well, we like everybody else, have been working remotely for the past year plus at She Media. And it has been surprisingly productive. I think trend-wise, we've seen that many of our employees have become actually closer and developed deeper relationships with one another as a function of this sort of commitment to remaining in touch and to spending quality time, even if it's over Zoom or over whatever platform your company is using. So I think that we've been able to maintain productivity, and that has been my core focus since we began working remotely. The fear was that we would lose productivity, we would lose people, we would lose focus, we would cease to maintain urgency. We've been very fortunate that has not been the case. It's also been very deliberate. Managers have a real approach and a system to maintaining engagement and performance, being really resolute about our KPIs and ensuring that we are tracking our own work, both ours as managers and those of our team. So, you know, our move to remote has been by and large a good thing for the company. For the people, relationships with more junior people, for senior people have been fostered productively because we actually are meeting them on equal ground in a way, not in one in our, you know, in our offices where they literally and figuratively sit outside, but rather kind of one-on-one in these more intimate settings. I think we're all longing to go back a bit, and that work in the future will be more flexible in terms of where we're tuning in from. But I think we will all quite eagerly be back in the office July, in transition in July and August, and then with greater consistency in September.
So which brings me to my next question in regards to, you know, creativity. So digital marketing individuals are creative, the out of the box thinking, and, you know, the old concept used to be that the creative people need to go in their zone, you know, interacting together, the pizza parties, the water cooler conversations that led to, you know, the innovative creative marketing stunts or those kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. So doing all of that over Zoom, it has been a challenge for a lot, but you mentioned that, you know, the productivity has increased. So what's the secret sauce?
Well, I don't think that we've developed any secret sauce. I think that maintaining communication and familiarity and comfort is really important to creativity. especially because creativity for a media company like ours has to come from all areas. It's not hierarchical. And so if we don't maintain communications and productive dialogue with all members of our team, I think we'll lose out. We'll lose out on people who don't feel comfortable speaking up or who don't feel like they have the right forum. So we've maintained creativity in part by maintaining communications in a really deliberate fashion. There are moments when we feel creative, and when you jump into someone's office or you grab someone, you know, in the hallway or in a communal area. I think that behavior of grabbing someone when you have an idea is diminished a bit from being remote. I might Slack someone because I'm like, hey, I just thought of a thing, but I can't tell if that person I'm Slacking is on another call or is in a meeting where, you know, with, if we're in the office, I can see and read where somebody is in their day and whether it's a good moment to jump in with an unplanned brainstorm. Or, you know, I have lots of employees who come by my office pre-COVID with an idea and they're like, hey, I just thought of this. What do you think? They see me in a break in between meetings. Mm-hmm. And that those spontaneous moments are pretty hard to maintain. Honestly, I don't know that we've done a great job of that. But we do have more organized moments of creative brainstorming where we show up prepared and with specific direction to creative brainstorms. So we've lost a bit. We've lost the spontaneity. I would say that's what we have failed to maintain. What we have maintained is and been more efficient in is organized forums for idea sharing, which we hope spawn creativity. Yeah.
Makes sense. The last couple of questions, you know, I'm really enjoying the conversation, but my marketing team forces me to keep all of them within 8 to 12 minutes. So, so Zoom fatigue, you know, mental health, Zoom fatigue, this is what's been under discussion for the last 6 months. And multiple companies came up with their own kind of like hacks to go by it. Some went like, okay, no meetings on Wednesday, no calls on Wednesday, things like those, you know. So did you face those challenges and what kind of things you came up with?
Right, so Zoom fatigue, I think it's, for as we broke that down and thought about it, one of the things we found that was most obvious, but also not often cited is that it's physically, if you're not moving, if you're, part of Zoom fatigue is just sitting fatigue or sedentary lifestyle fatigue. So when you're moving about an office and going from meeting to meeting, you're moving your body, you're walking, you're running if you're late, you're going up and down in elevators and just changing your view quite, you know, literally and figuratively. So I think a lot of Zoom fatigue is lack of physical movement. So some of the ways we've combated that, or I personally combat it, is to take a walk in between meetings, leave your house or your apartment, walk around the block, make sure you're still getting your steps in. And I think that does have an impact on energy and on overall sort of mental health. So other things we do is we have standing meetings where we are on Zoom, but we insist that we all are literally standing, not just saying it's a standing meeting, like a short meeting. We give Zoom a break and take one-on-one calls just in the old-fashioned way on your mobile while you're out walking, taking a walk, or you're moving to a room where you're not set up with your full office simulation. So I think movement is a key loss as a function of remote working and Zoom. So physical movement is to me the single most important thing to maintain if we want to continue to be productive through whatever video option we're using.
So last question, you know, what personal changes you've brought into your own daily routine to be more productive, you know, your own personal productivity hacks?
I think we all talk at She Media about boundaries, and we spoke about boundaries quite a bit before COVID, and it's become even more important now. So understanding that you can turn off, that you can leave whatever your office space is and shut the door or the curtain or whatever it is and not re-engage until the weekend is over or until, you know, the next day. So I think the being really deliberate about boundaries is something I'd like to take with me. Recognition of physical movement to, you know, to tie into your last question, I think that the necessity of physical movement to maintain energy is really important. Those of us in the city often, you know, don't leave the office for the whole of the day. Getting out into the sunshine is important. I don't think I will ever go back to working as many hours in the office as I did prior to COVID. And I don't think I will miss, you know, as many dinners with my family as I used to do, because I've realized that having dinner with your family that hour, an hour and a half off, is very valuable. Even when your kids are being a pain in the neck, it's still very valuable. And yeah, it's okay to leave your workspace at 6 p.m. and stay offline until the next day. So I think balance of family time is one that I'll keep. I'll keep physical movement and outside time as a priority. And I will always be trying to be more deliberate about boundaries.
Got it. Samantha, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, sure, it was lovely having you. And take care of yourself and
stay
safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care. Thanks for having me.